This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Randy Dixon, who is the director of the Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Randy, welcome back.
Thank you, Kyle.
You pleased a lot of people when you were here last month, and you gave us some audio memories of Arkansas's history.
It was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me on again. I'd like to do this on a regular basis.
Well, we're going
that's possible.
To. Yes.
Good.
And just to catch some folks up to speed who didn't hear the first one, these and what we're about to hear today also are cuts from the archives.
From KATV, the ABC affiliate in Little Rock, we have donated to us 26,000 hours of footage, news footage, and what we're doing is digitizing this old film, old videotape. Hope to have it soon or in the future available to view on the Pryor Center website. And what we're having fun with here is pulling some of these clips and stripping the video from them and using them here on the radio.
And I should mention the website is pryorcenter.uark.edu.
Yes.
And not only are clips like this there, but all sorts of oral histories, much longer in-depth interviews.
Well, the actual mission of the Pryor Center is to collect oral and visual Arkansas history stories, and we do long-form interviews with Arkansans.
Yes.
And those are posted there.
People you've heard of and people you haven't.
Exactly.
Today we're going to focus on some of these KATV clips over the past 40 years or so that dealt with sports. Arkansas is a big sports state.
Exactly. We thought we'd do a theme, and we had sort of an overview of everything that's in there the last time, but this time we thought we would focus particularly on sports and Arkansas-related sports.
Probably the best baseball player to come from Arkansas.
You've probably heard of him.
Brooks Robinson, number mm-hmm. 5 for the Baltimore Orioles.
That's right. With the Orioles for 23 years, I believe. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 83. Mm-hmm. And Bud Campbell, the sports director for Channel 7, caught up with him in 1971, right after the Orioles had beaten the Reds in the 1970 World Series.
Now, it's not fair to say that Brooks Robinson single-handedly beat the Reds, but he was making
close.
Plays at third base that still boggle the mind.
Amazing catches, and he addresses a little of that in this clip.
It couldn't have been better, Bud. The series was just fantastic, and it's a great feeling to come out with 25 guys and be number one for a winner, you know. And for me, as far as the series is concerned, I don't think it'd ever happen again because it was most of the balls that I caught, it's just a matter of inches, you know, 2 or 3 inches, and they're all base hits. So I was very fortunate and to be in the right spot, and I got a few base hits, and it was just a great series all the way around.
What sort of after-series or after-game reaction did you get from some of the Cincinnati players that you robbed of base hits?
Well, I haven't talked to any. I hadn't run into any of them along the banquet trail yet, but I'm sure I will this winter. But I know after I made a couple of catches off of Johnny Bench, he told me, he said, okay. So the next one, he said, it looks like the only way I'm going to get it by you is to hit it over you. And sure enough, he ended up hitting a home run off of me, you know. So that's just about I have a lot of friends there. Pete Rose is a close friend of mine, and it's just one of those things. And I'm sure they'll be back playing for the World Championship next year.
Brooks, when you have something like this happen for you, and you've certainly earned it and deserved it, does it mean that the demands on your time for this winter and the early part of next spring before you go to spring training have been really greatly enhanced?
Well, it sure has. I've been jumping around a little more, but January is really going to be a hectic month for me. But outside of that, everything is going to be almost normal. I've got about, 31 days in January. I've got about 20 banquets, such as St. Louis Writers Banquet, the Houston Writers Banquet, New York, and the Hickok Award is in Rochester. So I'm going to be jumping around from town to town, and I enjoy it. I don't mind it that much, and I'm going to be back in February, and I'll have to start concentrating on next year again.
Are you going to go after that $100,000 contract?
Well, I haven't thought too much about it, and I think I've got a good chance of getting it. I sure do, but it's one of those things where nobody's going to give you anything. You got to go in and negotiate for it just like you do in any other business, and I never demanded it. I know it came out in the paper saying I demanded this and demanded that, but I never really demanded anything, and I'm looking forward to starting the negotiations, though.
So they were haggling with Brooks Robinson over $100,000 a year.
$100,000 contract.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's almost, I think that's less than the major league minimum now. Staying with baseball of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a clip here from Augie Bush.
This is again Bud Campbell, mm-hmm. and he caught up with August Bush. I guess this would be August Bush Sr., who at the time owned not only Budweiser beer, which is not the case anymore, but also the St. Louis Cardinals, and he spoke to him in 1970.
Our special guest tonight is Mr. August Busch, who is president of the St. Louis Cardinal baseball team, also president and owner of Anheuser-Busch. And Mr. Busch, first of all, which do you enjoy the most, the brewery business or the baseball business?
Well, now, Bud, that's a pretty tough question. I have to admit to you that one of my great loves, and one that I've grown up with longer than I have with baseball, happens to be the beer business. But baseball comes an awful close second without any argument.
I saw you the day that the Cardinals won the World Series a couple of years ago, and I don't believe I've ever seen a gentleman who reflected as much happiness as you did that particular day. That has to be one of the great thrills for you, doesn't it?
Well, Bud, I have to admit that it was one of the greatest thrills I ever had in my live-long life. When we finally won that series, it was, the World Series, and the climax getting into the pennant end of it, and then the real climax of winning the World Series was to me the greatest thing that ever happened.
One of my earliest memories is watching the Great Shootout as a kid, Texas, Arkansas, 1969.
It's a big one. And this is sort of the Humble Oil highlight reel of the game.
In the Ozarks, the battle of the century, undefeated number one and undefeated number two before President Nixon, national television, and worldwide radio via the Humble Network. A minute and a half into the spectacle, Bill Burnett gives Arkansas a 7-0 lead as the Porkers go for their 16th straight victory.
Yeah, that's what was basically the ESPN highlights of the day.
Right.
You would see them in these sort of newsreel presentations.
Right, and this game was the only college football game broadcast that day.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't have every game on television.
Right.
It was a big deal.
And ABC Sports knew ahead of time that it would be such a big game that preseason they got Arkansas and Texas to rearrange their schedules so it would be the last game played. And Rune Arledge even promised Darryl Royal and Frank Broyles that the president would be there.
And
he was, and was in the locker room, the Arkansas locker room, after the game.
They were the great team. Well, thank you, sir. We feel that way too. It's a tough assignment, isn't it, to have to do?
I'd like to say something to the team because I know how you feel. I've lost some in my field of politics. I've lost some close ones and I've won some close ones. But I want you to know that in the 100th year of football, in the game to prove which was to be number one, we couldn't have had a greater game. Arkansas was magnificent throughout the game, and Texas, in order to win, had to beat a great team. On any Saturday, if we were to make a bet, I would say we wouldn't know which team to choose, whether it would be Arkansas or Texas. And I also want you to know this. I think you can be awfully proud of the way your fans are with you. I've never seen stands so full of life. The whole state was behind you. There was a spirit there about it, Coach, and that means that your team has done something that's really great for this state.
Thank you, sir. We're very proud of our fans. They've had a big part in the success that we've had.
Right.
But we're doubly proud that you're big sports fans and believe in our program across the state.
Yes.
This will mean a lot to football for years to come.
Frank Broyles and Richard Nixon.
Mm-hmm. There's actually a documentary that's just been produced on, it's called The Big Shootout, and they use some of the footage from the KATV collection for it. I did a little bit of work on that, but it should be showing some places in Arkansas here soon.
Oh, wow. You know, there was a future president in the stands that day, too.
George Bush.
Yes, the first President Bush was there as a congressman. There's a great picture.
And John Paul Hammerschmidt.
Exactly. Uh-huh. They were kind of the co-hosts of the president. There weren't as many bowl games back then, either.
No, there weren't. Now, this next clip is a highlight clip from, I'd say it's kind of a groovy one, because it's from 71, and apparently the Liberty Bowl was a big, big deal back in the early 70s when you get Nipsey Russell and Doc Severinsen to help host the Liberty Bowl. I guess it's a pretty big deal.
Oh, why?
But you'll see here in this clip.
It's all part of a fantastic fun week in Memphis. And Nipsey Russell adds his humor.
I say seek for knowledge. Go to a college. Stay there until you are through. If they can make penicillin out of moldy cheese, they can make something out of you.
Liberty Bowl participants, thrilled to Doc Severinsen's Las Vegas Review. Doc and Nipsey preview Monday's game with place kickers Bill McClard of Arkansas on the right and George Hunt of Tennessee.
Man, what a game that was. I couldn't believe it.
But kicking, you're always under the pressure. It's only when they can't move the ball by throwing it or running it that they call you in.
It's like y'all. What pressure? If you make it, you make it. If you miss it, you miss it. That's the only way to look at it. I mean, there's no pressure.
Well, you can't think about missing anything. I know if I think about missing a note on a trumpet, that one's missed.
Can the holder help or throw you?
Holders can make a lot of difference. Holders can make an awful lot of difference. Well, I tell you, they can make you break you.
If it comes down to a field goal tomorrow and you miss it, then
there'll be pressure.
And the game's up, there'll be pressure when you get back on the locker room.
Yeah, there'll be some pressure.
So not only did they perform, but Nipsey Russell and Doc Severinsen are there interviewing.
They did the interviews. Yeah, I don't quite get it, but it's funny that they were talking to the kickers because Arkansas lost 14-13.
Yes, and that was a controversial loss.
It was.
There was a holding call not really called on Tennessee.
Yeah, I was reading blogs about the conspiracy
of thing. Yes, yes. Football moves along.
Yes.
Of course, Frank Broyles would retire. He'd become just AD, and he would hire this guy who had been at the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, North Carolina State, I believe.
That's right.
Yeah, Lou Holtz.
Lou Holtz. He was here, what, 7 years?
Mm-hmm.
And we pulled out of the archives here the day of his resignation. It was a cold December day up here in Fayetteville, and it was kind of a surprise news conference. It was called by Holtz.
And I hope that the prospects that are already committed to the University of Arkansas will honor that commitment. I hope the people that planned on visiting the University of Arkansas will continue to do so. This is a great place to be. The same great qualities that I've been trying to sell in the University of Arkansas are still here. And this university is totally committed to excellence. I would recommend it to anybody.
He made that statement, left without taking any questions, and then Frank Broyles came out and had some comments.
Gentlemen and ladies, let me start by reiterating my feeling about Lou Holtz as a coach and as a person. And I want the record to clearly show that I consider him today as I did and have for the last 7 years to be as brilliant a coach as I have ever seen.
The room was just kind of in shock during the whole thing. And Paul Eales, our news director, was there covering it. And, you have to send all of this material back. And this is kind of just, I guess you would call, behind the scenes. It shows, what you see on television takes several takes. But it just kind of shows the kind of guy Paul was and how professional he was.
Tough times don't last, but tough people do. That was Lou Holtz. Let's break that. I'm going to start again.
Okay.
Tough times don't last, but tough people do. That was Lou Holtz at the University of Arkansas, and that will be Lou Holtz wherever his future leads him. The 7-year head coach with a success ratio of 9 victories per season tendered his official resignation as head football coach at the University of Arkansas today before a jam-packed house at the Broyles Athletic Complex.
Okay, Paul.
Stand up open, cut 3. Tough times don't last, but tough people do. Oh, we got a couple of great Tough times don't last, but tough people do. That was the philosophy of Arkansas football coach. Let's break that. Doggone it. I'm going to do it one more time. My teeth are freezing to my gums. Tough times don't last, but tough people do. That was Lou Holtz at the University of Arkansas, and that will continue to be Lou Holtz's philosophy wherever his future leads him. The 7-year head football coach, with a success ratio of 9 wins per season, tendered his official resignation this morning at the Broyles Athletic Complex here in Fayetteville.
Want to try one more just for the heck of it?
Should I do one more?
Yeah, I'll do one more. That'll be it.
Okay.
As that clip was playing, I said to you, you know, if you've ever been in the broadcast business and you're having to do multiple takes, you always, okay, this is the one.
Yeah,
this is the one we're keeping.
This is the keeper. That was Tim Hamilton, his longtime photographer, that you could hear talking in the background. And, yeah, he pushed him one more time, and I think he got the best take out of him.
Sticking with football, but now we're moving up.
A former Razorback and Arkansas businessman who bought a little team called the Cowboys.
And it's been a while now.
Well, Jerry Jones bought them in 89. For $140 million. And the last I saw, I thought it was worth $2.1 billion,
yes,
maybe?
With a B. Yes.
Yeah, with a B. So I'd say he's built that a little bit. So this is a news conference in Little Rock that he held. He held one in Dallas, and he flew up and held one in Little Rock for all the Little Rock media.
You know, my home is Arkansas, and my family are Arkansas. And I'm moving to Dallas, but my heart and my family, many, many, many business interests are here, and the people that know me real well probably will say Jerry's going to be in Arkansas as much as he ever was, because I travel a lot. When my wife and I were first married, I got in on Saturday night and left out on Sunday. I was a traveling salesman, so I've always traveled. But I have a wonderful feeling for Arkansas, but I've spent a lot of time outside the state of Arkansas, and consequently have always told everybody that I've known or had any contact with in business how beautiful, how wonderful our wonderful state is.
At that news conference in Little Rock,
right,
the one in Dallas did not go that way. He was not a popular figure at first when he bought the Cowboys, because he left Little Rock, went back, and fired Tom Landry.
Yes.
In less than a week.
Yeah. Which.
And had Jimmy Johnson in and held a news conference in Dallas.
Okay.
You want to check in on that? Yeah.
You know, I think Tom Landry is one of the finest individuals and the finest coaches that I would ever hope to know. And it hurts me when someone says, I did something out of disrespect to Tom Landry. I mean, I'm in the coaching profession. You know, I look up to a man like Tom Landry.
You know, we had talked earlier about the mission of the Pryor Center, and that we collect these stories, and we have people tell their stories on camera. And one of the people that we have talked to is Jerry Jones. And if we could, I'd like to play a little clip from I believe the Pryor Center caught up with him in 2010, and this is just something him talking about how football has shaped his life.
They gave 60 scholarships a year to the University of Arkansas. There were 11 of us left when I graduated, 11 out of 60. So that experience of seeing really top-flight people and players, for whatever their reasons, moving on down the line and never participating and never really possibly having the rewards. The real truth is the best players left. See, now you can't get but 30 scholarships, and you can't have but literally 60 scholarships at the same time. When I would go out for spring practice, we had 13 teams of players. It was the start of my second year. My jersey color was baby blue. When you play for a red team and you're baby blue, you're all the way down the pack.
Baby blue. You can't get sent any far back in the pack than a baby blue.
I'm glad you brought that in because it also shows the in-depth interviews that, you guys do, whether it's Levon Helm or Jerry Jones.
That's true.
They're conversations, and they go on, and you get some of the and you hear the people really start to remember.
Well, and on the website, you can look at highlights from these interviews, but if you want to listen to the entire interview, you can do that or download it and burn it to a CD if you want to have it in your car or whatever.
Oh, wow.
The entire full interview. Plus, the transcript is there if you want to search for certain words or any topics that you might want to find someone talking about.
Really making history mobile.
Absolutely.
And personal. That's great. And again, that's priorcenter.uark.edu. But before you go, Randy Dixon, last time when we did our first one, we talked about Bill Clinton
losing the 80 election
to Frank White.
Frank White.
And you mentioned that there was this apology ad.
Right. We referred to it in the news business as the I'm Sorry ad that he did in 82 as the opening ad for his campaign. It was a 60-second spot that is just him sitting on camera addressing the issues that, I guess, made him lose the election.
In a huge upset.
Yes. And, you know, Frank White, he pushed what he called Cubans and car tags. They had the
right.
Cuban refugees, and Clinton raised the cost of license plate fees
right.
when he said he wouldn't. And that was generally the idea of what lost him the election.
And keep in mind when you hear this ad, this is back when gubernatorial terms were 2 years.
That's
right. So this is, if this is the start of the campaign, it's not that long after the 1980 election.
Right.
Soon I will announce for governor, but before I do, there are a few things I want to share with you. Since my defeat in the last election, I've practiced law and spent more time with my wife and daughter. I've also traveled our state talking with hundreds of you about what I did right and wrong as governor. I've learned that many of you are proud of things I did, but that you feel I was often out of touch, that I worked hard on what I wanted to do, but didn't always seem to care about what you wanted me to do. And I'll have to admit, sometimes I did lose the forest for the trees. For example, you've criticized me for raising the car license and title transfer fees. When I became governor, our roads were in terrible shape, and I did support an increase in those fees to solve the problem. But it was a mistake, because so many of you were hurt by it. And I'm really sorry for that. We still have problems that have to be faced. They require leadership. If you'll give me the chance to serve again, you'll have a governor who's learned from defeat that you can't lead without listening.
Wow.
Pretty strong.
Pretty humble and never lost another election.
Absolutely.
Wow. So next time, politics?
Why not?
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do a politics theme.
All right. Well, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll talk to you again. And again, I want to tell people priorcenter.uark.edu.
That's it.
Thanks, Randy.
Thank you.